The Word of God from the letter to the Galatians in the 6th chapter, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We do want all those who hear this message know what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church, and today it's from 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 21. We believe we were ransomed from futile ways by the precious blood of Christ. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of the times for our sake. Through him we have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that our faith and our hope are in God. In the last several weeks, I've tried to talk about hell as the result of our choices. Human choice got us tossed out of the Garden of Eden. Human choices led to the Nazi concentration camps. We so often forget that Adolf Hitler was originally popularly elected. And Corrie ten Boom taught us that even in the concentration camps, there was still choice. And Corrie ten Boom chose Jesus Christ every time. Corrie ten Boom chose Jesus Christ even after she, alone of her family, survived the concentration camp. And she chose to reach out to the victims and to the perpetrators. I've used the illustration of a teacher who made choices to have sex with one of his underage students, and that created a hellish condition for that man, for his victim, and for his whole community. So hell is something we choose. And I've given you some dramatic examples, but they don't have to be dramatic. The Bible even says the choices are not dramatic. Look at Jesus' temptations. Turn stone into bread. Turn stone into bread when you are hungry. Turn stone into bread when you are hungry and no one else is around and no one will ever know. And yet to do that, to turn a stone into bread would have been devil's work. Devil's work. I didn't say it, the Bible did. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. Hear that. The wages of sin are death. I don't just deserve to go to hell, and that was last week's sermon. If you missed it, it's available at this website. But I not only deserve to go to hell, the Bible says I earned the right to go there. I earned it. I earned hell. I confess, hell isn't much of a prize, but hell is my wages for my choices. Now, while you think about that, I'll muddy the waters a little more. It isn't just what you do. It isn't keeping yourself from sin, although that's not possible. It isn't just your actions, it's your heart. Sometimes we might do what God wants, but our hearts are far from God. We can't see people's hearts, but God can. And that's an odd thing. You know, one of the benefits of being human is understanding that things are not always what they appear to be. And yet we do not utilize that function of our own human capacity. We shoot from the hip, we shoot first and ask questions later, we speak before we've thought about what to say, we react sometimes when we can't really be sure what we are reacting to. To make my point, I'll tell you a favorite joke of mine. The other day I saw a man speeding into a parking spot for handicapped people. The man jumped out of the vehicle, ran into the store. It made me really mad. So when he came out of the store, I hit him with my car. I didn't think that was wrong. I made an honest man out of him. I made him handicapped. But then his wife came out of the store, and she was visually challenged, so she beat me with her white cane with the red tip. You understand, things are not as they appear to be. I saw a film once that followed a soldier in World War II. He was a hard-working soldier. He was efficient. He got his tasks done on time, and often he got them done ahead of schedule. His superiors were very pleased. He even received a promotion. Sounds like a good man, right? A good soldier. But did I tell you he was a German soldier, and he had responsibility in World War II for one of the concentration camps? He doesn't sound like a good soldier now, does he? It helps to know the whole story, doesn't it? So who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? Well, we can't tell, can we? We can't say. Jesus said to the Pharisees, now remember, the Pharisees come in for a lot of Jesus' harsh words, but we know that they were men of reputation, men of high standing. They were considered religious and holy by the people. And this is what Jesus said, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. I'm going to say that again. I made an error there. I want to say it as straight as I can. Jesus said, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness. You didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw that, you did not repent and believe him. Wow. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of the Pharisees. Or at least some of them. One other example of things not being what they seem and the real truth behind what we see. This example is one I've quoted to you many times. It's a scene from Charles Dickens' short story, A Christmas Carol. It is the beginning of the story when Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the ghost of his dead partner, Jacob Marley. The ghost is described in his face, the very same as the deceased, Jacob Marley. His clothes also, although you could see right through the ghost. The ghost carried and pulled a large chain that was clasped around his middle. It was long and wound around the ghost, and it was made of keys and padlocks and money boxes and safes and ledgers and deeds and a heavy purse made out of steel. Ebenezer Scrooge says to the ghost, "You are tied in chains. Tell me why." And the ghost says, "I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it. Link by link and yard by yard. I put it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it." The ghost continues and says to Scrooge, "Would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was this heavy and long 7 years ago. You have labored on it since." This ghost tells Scrooge that if a person's spirit is not involved in other people's lives while alive, then the spirit of the dead must travel far and wide, doomed to wander without stopping. It must witness what might have been shared and turn to joy and realize that it has no longer any power to intercede for good. That the spirit has lost the capacity to do good. Although in life it had that capacity. Scrooge, who is beginning to see all of this, applies it to himself, responds by saying that Jacob Marley was always a good man of business. And this sets up a cry from the ghost. Business! Mankind was my business. Charity and mercy, benevolence were all my business. My work was just a drop of water in the ocean of my business. The ghost goes on to say that at Christmas the ghost suffers most. And the ghost asks, "Why did I walk through crowds of people with my eyes turned down and never raise them to the blessed star which led the wise men to a poor abode? Were there no homes to which its light would have conducted me? In this picturesque example, we see the truth of the Apostle Paul's words. The wages of sin is death. You see, to Scrooge and Marley's peers, they were exemplary men of business, buying low, selling high. Scrooge even says to Marley's ghost, "You were always a good man of business." Come to find out, Scrooge hears from Marley's ghost that Marley never really worked at his business, which was not money, but humanity was his real business, and the ghost confesses he did nothing for his fellow men. Jesus condemned the Pharisees in a very similar manner. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean." Other teachings remind us, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their earthly side, from the earthly side they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. It's really a simple spiritual truth. It isn't dramatic. For all the drama we make out of hell, hell's the simple result of our choices here and now and for eternity. And don't get me wrong, hell's horrible, worse than we can imagine. But as Charles Dickens observed, we shall all receive what we worked on in this life. If we worked on the things of this life, we'll get destruction, because everything in this life must be destroyed. If we work for the things of the Spirit, we may receive eternal life. This isn't punishment as we often think about it. It's our reward. We decide what we want to be rewarded, destruction or life. We only need to ask ourselves, what am I working on? What am I working for? Sometimes we can't ask the question, or we can ask the question another way. We can ask, who am I working for? But if we're not working for the kingdom, then we won't enter the kingdom. What did Jesus say? Don't worry. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The pagans run after all these things. The godless people run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. Seek first his kingdom. There's only one way that I know of to seek first the kingdom, and that's through Jesus Christ. Let me finish today by saying I'm well aware of the problems that we moderns have with the notion of hell. I just remind you that our problems with hell are our problems. Hell isn't a problem for the Bible. Jesus, who talked about hell more than anyone, hell was not a problem for Jesus. I've always thought it strange that anyone would not want to live with God on earth and yet expects to live with God forever in heaven. Doesn't that strike you as odd? They don't want to live with God on earth, yet they expect to live with God forever in heaven. There just isn't any way that could work. No way. If we have trouble trusting the Heavenly Father in this life, why would anyone want to live in heaven with him forever? If you can't trust him here and now, why would you want to spend the rest of eternity with him? That doesn't even make sense. Jesus was concerned enough about us to come to warn us. Jesus was concerned enough to come and rescue us from the path we were on. Jesus taught Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Amen.